Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. This is Dr. Scott Taransky, and I'm here with Elena Svetzlot. And we, every time we come together, we look for ways to provide you with practical insights for your family. We work with families regularly, and I'm coaching families in the most challenging situations. And so we continually see challenges come up that parents need to hear about. So it's our desire to equip you with some practical solutions that are both biblical and practical that you can implement in your home, and we can see some good things happen. So, Elena, welcome today.
Hi, Dr. Scott. Hi, everyone. And really great to be speaking again together. Indeed, we want to really help parents in parenting, with parenting, with getting to the heart of the challenges they have, and really giving them tips that are easy to remember and not so easy to implement, but really lasting in the effect they have. And today we are going to focus on something that's probably at the heart of and in on the heart of many parents. And I'm actually going to call it one of the greatest challenges of the heart end of parenting, which is emotion. So we're going to speak a bit about emotions in general, about the three main emotions that we are experiencing as parents, but also as that children are experiencing. So Dr. Scott, how would you introduce in a more, let's say, detailed way, or in a more in a sort of detailed manner, the emotions that children and parents alike are experiencing?
Yes, I believe that every child needs to have a plan for three basic emotions in family life. They are anger, sadness, and anxiety. Those three. So every child must have a plan for anger management, anxiety management, and dealing with sadness or disappointment. Those three emotions are major, and most children do not easily manage them well, and they require training. And when they don't have that training, or when they find themselves deficient in those emotional management skills, then they create tension in the home. They create tension for themselves. They just don't know what they're doing. So it's our desire at the National Center for Biblical Parenting to equip parents with tools, practical tools, that they can use to bring about solutions in these three areas.
How would you speak to a parent who says, you know, I'm so overwhelmed. I really feel that my child is experiencing all these problems, all these emotions. I mean, they are really all over the place, anger, anxiety. What is a good place to start to define? Where do we begin?
All right. So in order to bring about order within the heart, we have to deal with a cyclone that's often present. So there's this kind of cyclonic activity that's going on in the heart, where a child, for example, who's anxious says, this is going to be bad. And I can imagine if that gets bad, this is going to get worse. And this is going to be then disastrous. And if that happens, it's the end of the world. And I'm not going to be able to manage this. So that cyclonic thinking just feeds on itself. Furthermore, children who are stuck in that cyclone are just in this internal tension that they can't seem to get rid of. And they sometimes find themselves overwhelmed, and then they start, even if they have anxiety, they'll sometimes come out with anger responses. So it's very important to be able to address these issues on a deeper level.
Yes, and I think parents sometimes can really mix and put everything in one bucket. And I think that's maybe not helping so much with defining or having a starting point where we say, okay, when exactly do parents, the children get upset, or when do you see them reacting with a certain emotion? For example, we speak a lot about the arena in our heart. When are they, when they're given a task and they are, and they're reacting angrily, saying no, or when, they hear no, and that's also a reason to become angry. When they go to bed and they become anxious because they don't like to be alone in the dark. So there are specific tools we can use to help understand where the areas of focus can be for our children. Dr. Scott, I know you speak about the arena, and I think that's important for parents to understand how to think about that and how to distinguish about all these from the different emotions. How would you define further that what I just mentioned?
I think it's important for parents to identify this arena, and the arena is where the action takes place. When I'm working with children, I say, in the arena, they play basketball or they're doing hockey or ice skating. It's where the action takes place. So the arena is a great place to start because it defines that place inside of the heart. Now, don't think in terms of the space inside of the house. Think about the space inside of the child's heart where this arena takes place. For example, when the child feels like they are being pestered by their brother, that's the arena. Or they believe they're being treated unfairly by their mom, that's the arena inside of the heart. Sometimes children have a structure inside of their hearts as to where they believe that they want to go today, and their expectations then create this problem. So this arena we want to look at in the heart, not just in the behavior. We don't want to just say, oh, it's when he goes to school or when he goes to bed. We want to look deeper into this space inside of the heart where the action takes place. And so once we define that arena, then we're able to develop some solutions that are heart-based. And notice we're talking about the heart first. So the heart is this space inside of a person where we wrestle with things, where we have our tendencies, and certainly emotions exist in the heart, the Bible says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. I mean, that's an emotion, but where does it take place? It takes place in the heart. When Jesus talked to his disciples, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. It's these emotions that exist in the heart of a person. And so that's what we have to work. We have to spend our time inside the heart and creating these activities that help a child to wrestle inside and develop some greater solutions.
So give us some examples of these kind of activities that can bring about change, that can bring about hope in parents and in children.
Okay, let me start by saying, let's look at the desires that a child has. We know desires are also in the heart. Desires, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So we know desires exist in the heart of a person. Now, when desires exist inside of the heart of a person, it means that desires can trigger emotions because they're closely linked. We say that when desires get strong, they turn into expectations. And when expectations get strong, they turn into demands. So this internal demandingness that children experience and face in their lives, it may not be a demandingness that comes outwards, but it's internally demanding. I have to have life this way. If life isn't going the way I expect, then I am upset or in turmoil internally about that. So identifying again another aspect of the heart can be of tremendous value. Let me tell you a story. When you talk about solutions, Elaine, let me tell you a story that I think might be helpful. I had a 10-year-old boy who was removed from his Christian school and told he couldn't come back until he got his anxiety under control because his anxiety was preventing him from learning and he was creating more and more tension and stress for other students in the class, hindering their ability to learn as well. So when I work with children, I always have the parents in the room because that's the best way to help children change because parents are the best counselors for their children. And so they came into the office, and as I sat with this boy, we started to talk, and you could tell he was obviously anxious. It's about being in my room. He's kind of crawling all over the chair and moving his hands everywhere and just having a hard time. And so I said, let me tell you a story, I said to him. I want to tell you a story about a 13-year-old boy that I worked with for 11 weeks who had some pretty severe anxiety. He was homeschooled, and this family was under a lot of duress because they couldn't go out in public. They couldn't take their son out of the house. Just all kinds of challenges. I described some of these to this boy. And I said, after I worked with him for 11 weeks, he told me, and he told his mom, my anxiety is gone. The 10-year-old looked at me and he said, do you think that could happen to me? And you could see the despair and the hope both on his, in his eyes and his voice. And I said, yes, it's going to happen to you. We're going to work hard. It takes a lot of hard work to change what's going on in your heart. But yes, we're going to work on this and good things will happen. Well, we went to work. We set a target date of 3 weeks in advance. And at that date, he would re-enter school. So we had our target date. And for 3 weeks, I guided the parents into these exercises that we did at home. These were exercises that parents did to stretch their son, to encourage him in some different ways, and to require certain things of him that were difficult for him in order to strengthen his internal being so that he could manage the stresses of life more effectively. And when the 3 weeks were up, he was to go to school on this Monday, I remember, and we were all feeling anxious about his ability to do this well. And sure enough, he got to school, he handled himself well, and he was able to stay in school for the rest of the school year. Well, I continued, and we continued to work together after that three-week period. And in week five, he said to his mom, and he said to me, my anxiety's gone. And let me explain to you what's happening in this child, because I don't believe their anxiety's gone. I believe in either of these cases, I believe that these boys will struggle with anxiety. But the reason they're saying that is because we worked very hard in these children's lives to help stretch their comfort zone. If you imagine a person or a child who's very anxious, then their comfort zone is very small. Mm. And so anything that moves outside of that comfort zone, they start to get angry. No, I'm sorry, anxious. And so what we did is we put the child into intentional, controlled, stress-producing situations with a plan. Mm-hmm. We're not being mean to him. Mm-hmm. He knows what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're requiring more of him than he was able to do before. And we're moving him more and more to enlarge his comfort zone. And so his comfort zone grows and grows and grows over that period of time in both cases, so that the child is really saying, if he understood what was happening, he'd really be saying this. He'd be saying, compared to where I was before and what I see now, my anxiety is gone. Or they're saying, mm-hmm. my anxiety is reduced so much that I can function in a way that feels like my anxiety is gone. Now, in both cases, these children must continue their work and must engage in these internal dialogue exercises and learning how to trust the Lord and all these tools that we use in order to bring about this change. But it requires training. And this training becomes a significant tool that parents can embark on in order to help their children grow in their ability to manage emotions. And we apply the same principle to children who have anxiety, have disappointment or sadness, and anger. We put them in intentional, controlled, stress-producing situations with a plan so that they can start practicing how to address this these challenges that they have inside of the heart.
I know we will be speaking about anxiety in a different episode, Dr. Scott, and I'm sure many parents will be really happy to hear that we will be dedicating an episode for anxiety. But just for this episode, would you give us just one example of one exercise that you did that would help a child that's anxious with a plan? I know it can be more than we have time to talk about right now, but just something that would give us a hint into the type of work you're doing.
Yes. Okay. So this is the Biblical Parenting Coaching Program, and we have seven broad tools that we use with children to bring about change in their hearts. All of these tools come from our understanding of how God works with us, and they come from our understanding of the Bible and how relationships happen and develop. So if we study God as our Heavenly Father and we see how He works with us as Christians, with the disciples in the Bible, with the Old Testament saints, with the prophets, with the Israelites, we just look at all of that and examine what does God do. We come up with these seven tools. And these seven tools then become strategic tools for bringing about change. And those are the tools we use. Some of the tools we start with are help build the working relationship with a child. So we have to start at the very beginning with many families. And we don't even start with emotional control until week four, usually. And what's really interesting is when we start working in the first 3 weeks, strengthening the working relationship with the between the parent and the child, and we help the child with some foundational heart basic qualities that they need, then we often see the emotions already getting better in the life of a child. There are many times when I'm working with a child who has anger problems, but we start working with these basic tools inside of a child's heart, these exercises that we do. And by week four, we don't really need to work on an anger management plan because we've already seen so much improvement in that. We do go and talk about emotions with all the kids and the parents we work with, but having to delve directly into that is often not necessary. It can be helpful sometimes, but often because we're working on these basic things, we see major changes in children's lives. It takes a lot of work and exercise. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to build relationship between the parent and the child. Often the tension that is created in the family causes children to believe that parents are on opposite sides. Mm. Correction is often the primary tool used. We're going to move from correction to training, because training is a far more productive tool than correction when bringing about change in the life of a child. We still have to correct children. Mm. We're going to work on training, and we're going to put children in training exercises to help the children move forward. We're going to strengthen the parent-child bond by connecting emotionally with the child to set the stage for what we're going to do. Then we start some of the activities. One of the first activities we want to help children develop is the ability to do what they need to do, even if they don't want to. Mm. Very important. This is developing a sense of obligation inside of a child's heart that we're going to practice doing something even when we don't want to do it or don't feel like doing it. Now, this is going to cut right to the edge of emotional challenges, because children develop this godly quality, which is really called responsibility. And it's the sense of obligation, this obligation that says, I'm going to do what I need to do, even if I don't feel like it. We start building that just in the common exercises at home, doing things that a child might not feel like. We interrupt them, or we set them up in giving them tasks that are difficult, not overly difficult, because they're controlled stress-producing situations. But we know that they're going to tax the child a little bit, because it's this testing of our faith that produces the character that's necessary. So we're going to put that into practice, as God does with us, to test the character. Testing is a sense of proving it or strengthening it. And we're going to do that by helping children experience some pressure in their lives. And as we do, they start feeling a greater sense of success, a greater sense of confidence that they're able to manage that. And it's just so amazing to watch these children develop and to flow, because they start realizing that they can actually do more than they imagined. That yes, they have now the ability to make choices that they thought they couldn't make before. Before, they thought they were a victim of their own anger and disappointment or their emotional turmoil. And now they're seeing that they can control that more. This just starts to feed on some great stuff inside, but it requires a lot of work. And so what we're trying to do is help children right here start to develop some very important exercises. And it's different for every family, but we're trying to find out what's going on in this family. Do they have chores? How do they handle mealtimes? What happens in the morning? Are they homeschooled and they're working on school during the day? Are parents working with schooling at night, with homework? How are we handling mealtimes? All of those things we look at, because it's in-life experiences that help children learn the best. It's training. Some parents think that what they're doing here is they're just talking to their kids more. Well, we believe parents are the best counselors for their children, but it doesn't mean necessarily that we're talking more. Some children don't need more talking. What they need is more exercises and more in-life experiences in order to grow and develop. So we're embracing a lot of those practices as we go through. So we're teaching children to learn how to have obligation. We're teaching them a little bit more about humility. We're helping them get outside themselves and think of others, not just think about themselves. We're helping these children recognize parents are coaches. We're giving them plan. We're talking about a very specific plan that they can implement that's tailored to that specific child, about how they can think differently and act differently. Because Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Mm-hmm. So the words that come out, or the behavior that comes out, and the things I say to myself inside are crucial for retraining the heart to respond better to life situations and to help a child to move in a more positive direction. So there's a lot of work here that we engage in, and we see major changes take place in children in just a few weeks. I had one dad say to me, he showed me video pictures of his son tearing up the front yard and the decorations in the front yard with a Ring video. And I looked at them, and mom seemed to be handling herself well. She wasn't getting upset or engaging in the dialogue with her son, but he was just having a terrible time with his emotion. We went to work right away, and in the first week, we saw changes. Dad said, I'm a half a glass half empty kind of guy. And I can't believe the changes we've seen so far. I'm waiting for the next shoe to drop. But if we can continue this, we will. I know we can see major changes in our son, and they will, as they continue to work the plan and bring about some major changes. But man, I love working with children. Anxiety is one of the harder things to work on in our parenting coaching program. And I deal with a lot of the children who are more challenged. So working on things like anger or anxiety or sadness are crucial areas that children need to work on in their lives.
How amazing. And also, I think perhaps for some parents, it's too good to be true. And when God is at work in our lives and the lives of our children, many, many good things can happen. So Dr. Scott, thank you so much for sharing that. I know there are over 300 certified coaches, parenting coaches that you have at the biblicalparenting.org, right? That parents can find if they're going there.
Yes, I've trained more than 500 of them. I only have about 30 of them on my website. So people can go and find those 30. Each one has their own price depending on what they charge. Often that's based on their experience as they're getting to know the material. So yes, certainly people can find more about this program at biblicalparenting.coach. It's one of our seven websites. But biblicalparenting.coach will help parents to understand. And, you know, some people will go there because they want to be trained as a coach. So I do the training three times a year, and people love to get into this training. I have people from all over the country, all over the world. I mean, you're from the Netherlands and you were trained as a coach. And I've got people from, each time I do it, I have people from other countries besides the U.S. And it's just a great way to see how God's principles apply in different cultures. So yes, it's a great tool that parents can use to bring about change in their children.
Yes, and it's just such a big hope for parents who are feeling lost, who are feeling that they do not have an idea where to start with their children, especially for Christian parents who are keen to parent in a godly way, in a way that's biblical, that's based on strong principles. This really is something that has changed my parenting for I think 180 degrees. So I really recommend that parents have a look at biblicalparenting.org, and they're going to find out much more. There are so many resources there. Dr. Scott has many books that you can read. So don't feel discouraged. Don't feel that there's no help. There is a lot of help available. Feel free to reach out and you will get the help you need. Dr. Scott, any final thoughts on this big topic of emotions?
Yeah, this one idea of emphasizing training instead of correction is revolutionary for many parents, because they tend to think they can change their children through correction. And so when things are going fine, they don't really do a lot. You know, they do a lot of good parenting, no doubt. But when the emotions get out of control, then they use correction. We would suggest if you use training, you can help children overcome the emotional challenges much more effectively. So I would say, think in terms of training, not just in terms of correction, and you'll bring children to a higher level of development than you would otherwise. Folks, thanks for being with us today. We're grateful that you've joined with us, and we're eager to share more with you about how we can help you to understand what a biblical approach to parenting is all about. Tune in again and look for the good things that we're going to share with you in future episodes.